Mr. Joginder Singh, Real Nine. Did you know whether the when they first started, what kind of did they have any kind of did they do anything to attract the Indian community to join the movement?
There was a little bit of. They started was what you know is the Indian Independence League. People started recruitment into it, and then eventually, well, that is the civilians started into joining that. And as far as the ex-members of the Indian British Indian Army were concerned, they were taken on into the military side. The training or whatever it is, they had the old British Indian Army officers were in their group. They had various sections, and all that was being done in this the field at Waterloo Street area.
How did they go about attracting people to join the movement?
They had the committee and the group of developers, workers. They will go around and try to get people. I won't say they were just trying to canvass, but still, you know, they would have those. They had some sort of influence of that in clubs and whatnot, and get people to join.
Did the leaders ever give any public speeches or
Oh
what?
yes, that the St. Joseph's Institution field. That was a field which was being made use of. And sometimes from 3 o'clock right up to 6 o'clock, the field was full of people hearing the Subhash Chandra Bose or one or two other leaders, well, make their speech.
Did you know what were the people's responses to towards the Indian Independence League and the Indian National
Just see,
Army?
as far as this Raj Bihari Bose is concerned, he did not cut an impressive figure. But when Subhash Chandra Bose spoke, women would simply remove the gold jewelry and throw at his feet. That was their contribution towards his war effort. He was a very impressive speaker. Very fiery, and he held the crowd in his control. Nobody moved until he finished speaking.
When did he come to Singapore?
I won't know when he came, but we came to know that, oh, the impression we were told is from Berlin he had gone to Japan, and he came together with about the same time as General Tojo came.
Did you ever hear him speak?
On more than one occasion, yes.
Besides the fact that he was a good speaker, what kind of topics did he talk on?
Well, usually the topic he spoke was generally concerned with the aspirations of the Indians, their treatment at the hands of the British. What the Indian Army or the Indian National Army was planning to do, and what he expected other people to do to help him.
What about the Ras Bihari Bose, the first leader, Ras Bihari Bose?
I did not, whatever he said, when he came, I was at that time in Malacca, and by the time I came to Singapore, about that time, I think that this Raj Bihari Bose had already come. Or he was overshadowed, shall we say, by the coming of this Subhash Chandra Bose.
Did other people tell you how did they react initially when Ras Bihari Bose was in charge of the movement?
Well, I did not ask.
Did you contribute in any way to the movement?
I had nothing to contribute.
Did you know about their efforts in Burma?
We just see. We did hear that after training they went to Burma and for some time they were progressing. Or until they came to the frontier. And about that time, the Indian staff at the broadcasting house Singapore were told to be on standby for an important announcement to be broadcasted. But that was never made. Because from Imphal, they had expected to go to cross the frontier over into India. But the British general had flown by air troops to the front and strengthened the defense so much that there was no chance or the Indian National Army did not succeed in going into India itself. Well, why it happened, we won't know, but there was a talk later on that there was disagreement between the Japanese and the INA as to who should administer the areas in Burma that had been conquered by the INA, with the result that air cover so much needed for the attack was not forthcoming from the Japanese. But that may be just sheer propaganda. It could be that the British from India had strengthened so much there's no possibility of ever getting into it.
Where did you hear that piece of news?
Pardon?
Where did you hear that piece of news?
From the local chaps from my own group. And in the group that I had were certain officials from the INA.
How did you view the INA and the Indian Independence League? Did you think they were independent organizations or were the Japanese?
Yes, when I was in Malacca, I had been asked to, I did join the Indian Independence League. But my motives for joining the Indian Independence League, as with other people there, was it acted as a sort of insurance to us against any ill treatment from the hands of the Japanese. More than anything else.
But how did you view the organization? Did you think it was an independent organization?
Or Which
did
one?
You, the Indian Independence League and the INA, did you think that they were operating on their own and for instance?
Well, the way I looked at it, they were two different things altogether. As far as the Indian National Army was concerned, it was an army, it was those people from the Indian Independence League who were prepared to sacrifice their lives and not to the actual fighting, provided the army took them in, would join. But then here is a case of and people from the army who already knew the fighting, who had been well trained, professionally trained to fight. They were doing the fighting. What would the members of the INA do? They will have to learn the rudiments first. And then, later on, only reach that particular stage of which they would be of use to the army. They would be more of a hindrance than of an asset to the army. That's the way I looked at it.
To the INA?
Yes. But then, it all depends on the age. You know. The people of the INA, well, their ages would have been 20-something to about 40-something, whereas Indian Independence League, those who wanted to join, well, they would probably, it would preferably be the younger people who would have been taken on.
What was the difference between the INA and the Indian Independence League?
The difference, I put it, is as far as I want to say, the INA was the civilians. And the Indian Independence League were those from the locals, the civilians who wanted to show to the others that they were better patriots than the others, than the ordinary men in the street. As far as the Indian National Army is concerned, they were persons who were actually going to do the fighting.
What was the main functions of the Indian Independence League.
Well, as far as I was concerned, the only as far as I'm concerned, it was just to protect myself.
But did you know the purpose why it was set up?
Well, it was the Japanese had their own, as far as Raj Bihari Bose was concerned, well, it was set up in order to do something to irritate the side of the British. I mean, that's all. Beyond that, I don't think he was quite capable of doing anything more than that. And our people had never, the local people had never had done anything or that showed any in any way that they were capable of doing anything against the British in India.
Who was the person in charge of the Indian Independence League?
Locally we had a few from the High Street and as far as Arab Street, the merchants, they played quite a leading part. And we had one or two lawyers, Indian lawyers, well, who would always take up politics well in order to air their views. And we had Mr. K.P.A. Menon and Mr. S.C. Goho among the local population who were community leaders, and they had a foot in both sides. They would be representing the Indian community to the Japanese, and at the same time, they would be with the Indian Independent League.
What were their responsibilities?
Responsibility, I won't be able to say about them, but as it is, whatever the Indian community, whatever the community leaders were supposed to do, they used.
Were the Japanese authorities behind the two organizations, the INA and the Indian Independence League, did they interfere with the running and the administration of the two organizations?
Well, in Dubin, I would say the Japanese had a hand in both these movements. Here are two movements in a country which is being run by the Japanese, and surely they would know what is happening there. Nobody could do anything without their agreeing to it being done. In fact, Raj Bihari Bose, how did he come into this country when it was under the already the how he came from outside? How did he come in? In the case of Subhas Chandra Bose, all the way from Berlin, how did he come here? Well, I'll put it as I say, they were brought here.
So did the local people respond to them positively? Did they believe that the INA or the Indian Independence League would be able to represent them or even to...
As I say, those who were not well educated, yes, they would. They had fallen for it.
How did you personally see them?
As far as we are concerned, the English educated were concerned, well, they had been brought to think of the movement as something which would never succeed.
Those that joined the two, were the English educated Indians members also?
We had a few Indian English educated, but then those who joined were those who had received their education not in local schools, but in Indian or Ceylon schools, schools in India or Ceylon.
Majority of them?
Yes.
So, you mentioned that you heard of the news of the bombing from the Azad Hind.
Yeah, Azad Hind, yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear of the news of the failure at Burma also, the INA? How did you know that they had failed in their operation there?
Well, we had coming to our office once in a while, somebody was connected with this broadcasting Indian section. And instead of, we didn't have any radio at all. And I did, after office I would go straight home, I would not listen to any broadcast or the public address system or whatever it was. And from him, once in a while, when he came, we would get a newsletter.
How did you react to that piece of news?
Which one?
The one about the defeat at Burma.
Well, I did not react. I was not much concerned about it. Well, to me, whether the going into Burma as well as trying to go into India would not have had no effect on me. It was only those who thought they were super patriots may have had some feeling of disappointment.
What did you think of the newspaper, the Azad Hind?
Let's see.
Did you think
during the British days, for the Indian Army, the British had a new sheet published, and we were getting it at the place where I was staying in Malacca, the Sikh temple. We were getting it, and then from this side, the Azad Hind was, I call it the same sort of thing that was happening, that the British had their own version of it. During the Japanese days, the Japanese had their own version of it.
When did you read of the news of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
Well, I think that we got the news about within the day following the incident.
From Azad Hind?
From Azad, yes.
What about Shonan Shinbun or the radio? Were there any broadcasts of the news of the bombings?
Well, I did not listen to the broadcast. There was talk among them, and I was not much interested in it. Because about that period, conditions at my home were not very good. My mother was very sick.
When you read the news of the bombings at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, what were your reactions?
We just see, with Manchuria, that side being in the hands of the Russians, and a little later we had the news of the American fleet converging with the Japan area, I mean those one or two battles in that area in which the Japanese had suffered substantial defeats, followed by these two dropping of the bombs. Well, the impression we had was that the fight was coming to an end very soon.
Was there any kind of official announcement that the Japanese had surrendered?
Well, the official announcement was to the effect that, the way I understood it is that the Emperor of Japan was saying that a lot of misery and suffering was being imposed by the enemy on the civilian population. And it was in order to stop the civilians from unnecessarily suffering the war that was going on, the Japan and the Emperor was ordering his army to cease fighting. It was not the case of the Japanese losing the fight or not being able to continue the fight, but it was a case of the emperor ordering this army to stop fighting to save the civilian population from misery.
How did you hear of this official announcement?
It was in the newspaper.
Do you remember when was that?
I don't remember the date. But it would have been, say, about the early September.
Did you know what happened to the Indian Independence League and the Indian National Army? after the Japanese
this
surrender.
What happened is they more or less were disbanded. And as far as the British were concerned, they were not so very petty as all that. It is true that when these people went back to India, there was quite an inquiry which took place in India as to the Indian National Army and whatnot.
Did you know what happened to Subhas Chandra Bose?
Prabhupada?
Did you know what happened to Subhas Chandra Bose?
I didn't hear that. What happened to?
Did you know what happened to Subhas Chandra Bose?
Just see. As far as Subhas Chandra Bose is concerned, well, his disappearance and the disappearance of Hitler are more or less the same. There's a lot of stories taking place. In the case of Subhas Chandra Bose, what we know is that he, one Muhammad Akram, and there were two others who were in a plane on the way to Tokyo area, and together with them, all that treasure that they had collected here by jewelry and gold was there. The plane crashed. What we are told is that all of them died in a plane crash.
How did you get this news?
It was newspaper.
What newspaper?
Azad Hind also.
When did you get this news?
I won't remember the date, but it was about the time when the surrender took place, about that time.
What were the reactions of the people when they received this news?
People felt, there are only two sorts of reactions that can be. One, people are disappointed or about the death, that they were sorrowful. And the others, well, they won't believe. They say, no, it cannot be. He simply has, the news is given in order to make people not look for them. They are alive but elsewhere.
What was your personal reaction?
Pardon?
Your personal reaction.
Well, let's say I won't not say anything about my personal reaction in the sense that, well, I had already bought the time. I was already having a trouble at home. I was thinking that if these troubles can occur to me, well, they can occur to anybody else also. I believed that these people would have died in an air crash.
At that time, were you still working in the court?
You see, I continued working in the courts right up to the date of the surrender. And after the surrender, when the British military government made a proclamation that everybody remain at their respective posts, I continued attending to the courts. But at the same time, I wrote a letter and sent to Malacca, to the administrative office in Malacca, that informing them that I was on the staff of the civil district of Malacca before the war, and that I was at the moment in the civil district of Singapore, and asked their instructions as to what I should do. If they wanted me to report back to Malacca, I would be going to Malacca. But then, at that time, the man who was running the secretariat, his letter to me was to the effect that it was not proposed to recall me and that I was to remain where I was.
Just before the Japanese surrender, did you notice any changes in the attitudes or the behavior of the Japanese working in the courts?
I did not notice. It is true that we had the way some changes, slight changes, but then they would not outwardly show what was. If at all they were showing, it was to the very close people to whom they could trust.
What about the Japanese on the streets?
Well, they were hardly interested in the Japanese who kept them themselves, and when it came, all that we knew was they would have some drinking parties and then cut open the stomachs. Harakiri. So many of them took place here. They would rather commit suicide than surrender. In fact, the talk we had was here that certain sections of the army wanted to continue fighting, but then the higher-ups insisted that they do no such thing.
Where did you get all this news from?
Coffee shop talk.
After the Japanese surrender, what happened to the Japanese personnel in the courts and in Singapore generally?
Well, they just, as far as we are concerned, they did not come back to us. If, I say very likely, the chances are before they went away, they would have had a few words somewhere with Mr. S., the registrar, and say that, thank you very much for what you have done for us. Well, things have changed. We are going back. We don't know where to. In fact, I'm told that Mr. S., later on when he went, on a holiday to Japan, he called upon the old members of the High Court staff, the Japanese, who had given him his addresses, and they treated him with very great hospitality.
So these Japanese staff members, they left the courts before the British came back?
He said it was more or less a transition.
Did you know whether they were interned? Or did they go back to Japan immediately?
I don't think that they could not have gone back like that. They could not have gone back like that. We had all this captain, author, and then Mr. Charlesworth or whatever his name was, the British man who was in charge of the courts, and it was some time before anybody could, well, any arrangement made for movement of people out of this country.
So did you know where were these Japanese?
As far as I'm concerned, once they were away from the courts, I had no more interest in them.
What was happening in Singapore after the Japanese surrender?
My pardon?
What was happening in Singapore after the Japanese surrender, before the British came back?
Just see.